My name is Vince Russo, and if I had to book a podcast on a pole match, there's only one worth climbing for, bro, and that, bro, is Butts in Seats Podcast, bro.
Well, there's nothing the referee can do about it because he's not really using the chair.
You could bring a fucking machine gun into the ring, but as long as you don't shoot somebody, it's fucking legal.
I'm just going to leave this handgun sitting right here on the edge of the ring. It's okay. I'm not going to use it.
iTunes, Stitcher, Butts in Seats Podcast, bro. Bro. Bro.
This is FNX.
Oh, yeah!
Hey, this is Big Brody Marshall.
This is Brian Alvarez, and you are listening to Wrestle Radio Australia.
This is the Jurassic Punk Sid Parker.
Hey, this is Killian English.
Don't worry, just panic.
This is the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett.
Hello, Doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Mean Dean Olsen.
This is the loosest kid in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is Charlie Evans.
This is five times the world's heavyweight champion, the scrap brand Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Indeed you are. Josh Armour here. Thanks for checking out the show. We've got a really fun chat coming up here, recorded just last night backstage in RC-Dub after what was an amazing event. I mean, the fans in attendance went absolutely bunter at the end of the show. And in fact, if you can't wait for the Vimeo and you want to see, or the DVD, and you want to see exactly what happened, go onto Facebook and follow Gemma, backstage reporter from RC-Dub. She put up a heap of videos from the show, and in particular, the final minutes of Rites of Passage. So, yeah, go and suss it out, folks. It was a lot of fun, and just really hit you in the feels. So, it was really cool to be a part of. And thank you to everybody that came along to the show, and hope you all had a rad time. Well, I'm guessing you did have a rad time from the reception. By the end of it, everybody on their feet and arms in the air having a rad time. So yeah, good stuff. Oh, by the way, WRA is brought to you by FNX.network and of course WrestleMerch Printing. You can follow us on Twitter at WrestleRadioAU. Let us know what you think of the show as you listen. Why not make it an interactive experience here? Of course, check us out on iTunes. Subscribe there if you haven't already, and also Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, all those good places. So today, Todd Eastman and myself caught up with Luke Santamaria, who I've been hanging out, get on the show here for quite a while. So I'm glad we finally got him on WRA, along with the new Riot City Wrestling champion, Brad Smythe. That's right, he's finally got the belt, and oh man, it's apologies for the language the last few episodes. I mean, especially with Mr. Juicy and the old man, and this one here. When it's really loose and we kind of, you know, sometimes forget that we're even recording, despite the fact I'm holding a microphone. But anyway, yeah, it's just a really fun time hanging with these dudes. So yeah, if you don't like a heap of F-bombs drop, this isn't the one for you, folks. This is not the one for you. But if you like to have a laugh and just cut loose, then yeah, I think you'll have fun listening to this one. And if you couldn't make it to Rites of Passage, the next RCW event in Adelaide will be June 18th. We do have one before then in a couple of weeks at the RCW Academy. That's RCW Live. But yep, June 18th, back at the Latvian Hall for Ultimatum. Always a big show, just like Rites of Passage was, so who knows what's going to happen come June. And yeah, as I mentioned, Mr. Juicy was on the show, just yesterday we put that one out with the old man, Father Ted, John Armour, Demi Bennett, Luke Hazard, Tom Chocolate. It was a really cool hodgepodge of good people sitting around and having a yak, so you check that out. Plus, of course, you know, we had Rocky Monero not too long ago, Mark Williamson chatting with Todd Eastman, and of course we have Healing Out, which is a rad show hosted by Muhammad Ali Vaez. And in just a sec, you're going to hear from Ali. But first of all, yeah, some really cool chats he's had over there. Two episodes with Crackerjack, who is back. He's off the island and made an appearance at Ballroom Brawl at MC Dub. Crackers is back. That's always good times. But yeah, you can hear him on Healing Out, plus Dowie James, MCW promoter Mikey J, Ricardo Rodriguez, Mr. Anderson. So not just the Aussies. And in a few days, the Tag Team Pilot review is going to be coming up on Butts in Seats with myself and my buddy Brandon Dalton over there in California. So hold tight for that one. And thanks to those of you who've checked out the reboot episode of Butts Outer Seats, which went up a few days ago. Big thank you. Going to get into this fun chat with the lads from RC Dub and the new champ, Brad Smythe. But first of all, here's a word from our good friend, Healing Out host, Ali Vaez. Muhammad Ali Vaez.
Hey, Aussie wrestlers and promoters. If you want to get great merchandise to your fans, your first stop is South Australia's Wrestle Merch Printing. Wrestle Merch tees and hoodies are screen printed one by one to ensure precision and quality every time. Wrestle Merch can also design artwork as they did for Wrestle Radio Australia. Wrestle Merch Printing will even print any merchandise that you design for yourself. So, for instance, you could send Wrestle Merch Printing a graphic that says, I'm in the professional wrestling industry, but I don't have any money to get proper gear or proper training or get a gym membership or hire a nutritionist, but I'll drop $3,000 to go to WrestleMania like a fucking mark. I don't know if they would print that, but you could probably submit it to them and they'd give you a quote. I'm fairly certain. Wrestle Merch Printing have taken care of TMDK, Jimmy Havoc, Mr. Juicy, Jonah Rock, Damian Slater, The Bestos, Wrestle Rampage, Melbourne City Wrestling, EPW Perth, Hunter Valley Wrestling, and one day when I decide to sell merch, they'll take care of me too. For further details and a quote, send a message to the Wrestle Merch Printing Facebook page. You'll get a prompt reply, friendly service, and be sure to tell them you heard about them through me. Unless you take my advice and send them what I read in the copy tonight, because they probably realistically won't print that. But you can always try.
I am here with the world-class manager who had a victorious charge tonight. Fuck yeah, we can swear. That shows how often he listens to this show, doesn't hear Josh swearing like a fucking sailor. Todd Eastman.
Well, he listens to the ones that are just me, so to be fair.
And the Big Ballers podcast, of course. The franchise, Showtime, returning to RCW tonight, Luke Santa Maria.
Well, to be fair, you can't really say returning because I never really did go anywhere. I just... Yeah, I just didn't show up for a while, so yeah. Nah.
NBT.
Yeah, or MBB. Knockbook Bus. Yeah, and that's a long story which I will cover after, but.
I will get into it right fucking now because you're hoping that I would forget by the end. Luke is affectionately known around Riot City as Spus. SBUS. Let's elaborate.
Okay, so basically SPUS means is an abbreviation for special bus. Now, I'm pretty sure this is how it come about. Obviously, when I started wrestling, I was 17 and I was still in school. Now, this particular... Because I used to have to catch the bus to school because I was an idiot, didn't have my license at that stage. I had to catch the bus. So on this one particular day, I had the yellow school bus... like over in America for the special kids, come and pick me up. And I was the only one on the bus at this stage. And I'm pretty sure one of the guys saw me on the yellow school bus. So when they saw me that night at training, it was, you fucking ride the special bus to school and stuff like this. And then it just eventuated from special bus to SPUS to bus to S-bus. And yeah, now it's like, hey, Luke, And if it's just weird saying my real name. It's like, oh yeah, shit.
Because then
I forgot your name's Luke.
Because then having somebody else in Riot City whose shoot name is Luke as well, that's going to confuse you. Then of course you, like, I remember when like a second Josh came around and it was like, you fucking, oh, you're not talking to me. Then it was like, okay, you're Armor now. You know,
we had a second Josh. Oh, I don't know. That goes to show how much attention I pay.
Well, there's been Josh.
One of those times you were retired.
We're cracking jokes now. We'll get into that.
A few Joshes have come and gone. Not necessarily have we seen them in the ring though. Except for just Josh, of course.
Hey!
Todd Eastman's ducking out, but holy shit! Let's welcome the new Riot City Wrestling Champion. The fastest man alive, Brad Smythe, is here. Dude, what a fucking night.
Wow, yeah.
I gotta hold the big black thing. It's just the way it goes.
No, I don't doubt that. No, dude, crazy, crazy night. Like, oh, it's been like a lightning bolt. I don't really remember much of what's happened so far today, but it's just been crazy. I'm on such a high right now, I don't even have words.
I don't remember what really happened much today since you kicked me in the fucking face, you dick.
Don't you dare be sour, Luke.
Don't you dare clap
for your new RCW champion and feel the power.
Luke Hazard, of course he's not going to leave here with that. He comes along to see Riot City Wrestling, and then he walks in on the room where we're recording a podcast and thinks he's not going to get called in on it. Hello, Luke.
Hello, sirs. Well done, Brad. Good job, man. Congratulations. What a great night to be here.
That was good fun.
Well done.
We're making a habit of this, by the way. It's becoming like a weekend ritual.
Oh, you're just going to have to add me to the list of the WRA alumni, mate.
You're just going to have to roll in every week, man. I think that's just the way it's going to have to be.
We can do that. I'm happy to do that.
That means I have to add Todd and you to the promo now. Fuck.
That's okay.
There we go. It's all right. I'm just Instagramming.
I don't know how to do Instagram all that well, but yeah.
You know what? It's actually quite funny because I'm nowhere near tech savvy enough. Like,
we are old people. Don't let us fool you. Yeah. We are old
when it comes to computers and stuff. I literally know how to turn the computer on and look up porn. No, but so like lately, like
I don't know how to turn the computer on. So.
Oh well, there you go. Well, no. So like this last week, I've actually been like using my Facebook fan page and my Twitter account, and well, I've just uploaded a video to Instagram. So. Yeah, I'm starting to get the hang of it. And my wife is even my wife, Catherine, she said to me today, she's like, oh, look at you becoming all tech savvy now all of a sudden. Relax.
Mate, we are dinosaurs compared to these. Like, some of the young kids that come through here, they can do things on their phone that I didn't even know phones could do. Like, it's just, I stay at it as long as I can text. What? And, you know, send nudes, then I'm set. No.
Dick pics.
Yeah. No, it's gonna be real pics. We cover Shawn Michaels stuff.
Yes, that's right. Covering the nether regions. Yeah, absolutely.
With the belt. That's what it's gonna
be.
I don't get any of them. I'm gonna be pretty insulted.
You're the only one that does get
Nah.
I feel left out.
So yeah.
You guys had a match tonight before Brad unlocked his title shot against Big Brady Marshall.
If only he was going to unlock the key, I would have done a bit more damage to him.
Did you not see the clothesline directly to my neck? That everyone, like, literally get backstage and I was like, oh, how was the clothesline? I'm like, it was a bitch. What do you think? It's a fucking clothesline. No, it felt like fucking daisies.
I'm going to get you guys to huddle in a bit closer so I don't pull a muscle here in my back, because I've got to hold the bloody mic. It's the way it goes. Get off my cable. That's what she said. Hang on.
Makes no sense.
No, that's why I pulled myself up. See, because I'm like, Armor, what are you doing here? But yeah, top night.
I felt for my first match back in six months now. I thought we did brilliantly.
So much positive feedback, actually.
I believe we told a real easy story, and we had that story told already. Because we've wrestled each other, and you know, they're doing the whole veterans thing, like we faced each other that many times, but. In saying that, like, we didn't even really work the crowd.
No, we didn't. I think you know, like, people say work the crowd, and they're like, you have to go out there and you have to point to each fan and you have to like tell them to come on. But you know, like, we, you know, sometimes you can do a lot more just by looking at them, just by connecting with them with your eye. Like, and like, you know, it's one of the things that that the guys talk about before we go out. It's about those 1%ers. Find someone in the crowd, connect with them, make them connect with you. and then you're golden, you know, like, because one turns into two, turns into four, turns into 20, yeah, turns into 100. Before you know it, you got 300 rabid fans cheering Brattles or, you know, Luke Sucks or something like that.
Well, to be fair, they were chanting Luke Sucks when I was a face, so yeah, it's no, nothing new to me.
Hey, no, but it's all right. We worked through it. You worked through it. It's like growing pains. But
they only did that after you with me and fucking Those With Heart. That's when they went, oh, I don't know about him.
Unless we talk about Those With Heart, let's just move on, all right?
You're really bitter about those days. You're like, fuck, I had to listen, even in character, I had to listen to Armor.
Wait a second. What do you mean you want to put that behind you? You did one show under Those With Heart.
What are you talking about? I was with them for like 6 months. Because I had, you know, because Izzy and, you know, I was trying to look after her, yeah, and then...
We tried to kill her.
Yeah, you guys tried to kill a, like, 16-year-old girl. Good job.
Hey, mate, we don't book the shit, mate. We just get told what to do.
We don't age discriminate at Those With Heart, you see?
That was me then.
Eastwood's in the clear.
Look at him. Look at him dodge that bullet. Mate, Neo couldn't dodge a bullet like that. Look at you, your fucking Bullet Club jacket over here.
But nah.
Well, I had the Aussie Dub one, but it's a new one.
Yeah,
so
you didn't want to ruin it.
It's got all the appeal.
In all seriousness, so I think we're...
Looks like back to me.
We're all very proud of you. I couldn't be more proud of you. Yeah. You know, we started... Not many people know. We started at the exact same time.
Same day.
We
had our induction the same day. I walked in and there was Matt Basso sitting behind the desk and Luke Santamaria sitting in a chair. That was our induction and we got inducted that day.
My name wasn't Bus.
He couldn't
then,
even right? drive. He didn't even have a license. I had to drive him to training. So.
My mother used to cook you dinner 4 nights
now,
a week.
Now, that is absolutely true. Every night after work, this is a true story. Every night after work, Luke's family lived about a K down the road from where I worked when I was back in the day. I would finish work and I would drive straight to Luke's house and his mother would, at the door would be unlocked, I'd walk in and his mother would be there cooking dinner for me. And we would sit at me, Luke, Alex, your mother, and your dad when he was, you know, when he wasn't out work, when he wasn't working.
When he was there.
That makes it sound like he was a bad day when he was working. When he was around.
Fuck that guy.
Before you go any further, my dad, his work involves a lot of trouble.
He's away. So,
basically, the last time he was in Adelaide, because they live in Amsterdam now. Before they moved there, he was living in Newcastle and was back here on the weekends, or my mum was over there on the weekends, so yeah.
Before he went to the shops for bread.
Yeah. Went for some cigars, never came back. No. But and we would literally, I was just an honorary member of this family. Me and Luke would sit there and he'd have bloody Raw and SmackDown TiVo'd or whatever it was called, the thing where you record the show, we'd watch it, and then your mum would make us chicken wings. And then I would take him to training, and that was our life for probably 2.5 years?
Yeah. Yeah, and then I decided to get my license and it just all turned to shit.
Worst idea. How was I supposed to eat? All right, what was I supposed to? Did you think for a second how that affected me?
Not really. No. Not really. Yeah, but no, so we started at the exact same day, had it debuted on the same show. Yep. We've been through everything together. Like, we've been through a lot of ups and downs, so yeah, I'm so proud of you.
Even through Brad's green and gold tights days?
There's a story for it.
Forget Brooks, you talk about Proto J. It was like Phil Smythe's Proto J. Here comes Brad.
Golden boy of Australian wrestling. Here you go. Here's one for you guys. This is like the joke that comes up every single time. Like, so you get the new influx of young kids coming through and they're really worried that they're going to embarrass themselves on shows. And so they sit there and they're like, oh, no, that's what I'm saying. And so I have this talk with every bunch of rookies. I go, all right, guys, you're not. Here's the deal. Never worry about embarrassing yourself out there. One, because it's wrestling. It's like, you know, you got to go out there and you got to toe that line. It's a fine line to walk. But the other reason is you will never embarrass yourself as bad as I did. I was wrestling Fusion. I had a pair of tights that didn't fit. I took a choke slam. I back bumped. And I had a massive erection in the middle of the ring, pointing straight up, trying to poke its way through the tights like a plant trying to grow through cement. Like it was just, and it was caught on camera, and then we had a photo of it, and it was just, like, no matter what those kids do, no matter, if you're getting into wrestling, if you're new in wrestling, no matter what you do in life, you will never be massive erection in the middle of the ring bad. So you're fine.
I think that the pressing question here is, what brought on the erection? Was it purely the excitement of being out there in front of the crowd? Did you see a fine lady and thought, oh, geez, I want a piece of that later. What happened?
No.
It was Freddy. Let's call a spade a spade. Freddy Fusion, handsome man, all right? I'm a beard. I like the teddy bears, but...
he's more than a teddy bear, dude.
That's why get on so well. He's a bit of a teddy bear, but... Look at the beard. Look at him stroke his beard.
Ever since I grew the elderly stain beard.
Yeah.
It's very stain, isn't it?
Mate, it is actually really hurting me. I don't know what I did.
We'll get some cement in.
We'll see what happens when you don't see what happens when you don't fucking tow properly.
Yeah, mate. Fucking not that I didn't tow properly. Is that I would have fucking jumped right over you if I.
He's fine. Has a belt.
Yeah.
Oh, shots fired.
When you get your own belt, then you can complain.
But dude, that was Brad. That was such like a top moment because fucking. Here's me trying to be all sentimental here and serious. Good luck.
Sentimental bullshit out of the way.
And I told this. I just spoke to Matt.
Been around for so long around the RC Dub and done so much around the place, and now to have the strap, it's like it's pretty. It's a cool accomplishment. You know, it's a work, but that is the symbol of we trust you to do some pretty cool.
Are we breaking our fourth wall?
Yeah, this is what we do.
Yeah, we're kind of
no, dude, we're not faving.
Like 2 months ago, you'd be like, "Shut up, Todd."
Yeah. What are you doing for?
No. But yeah, no, like people around here know that you've sacrificed a lot off and on to be around here, and then for the company to say, "All right, see if you can do some cool shit with the belt." It's good.
Yeah, no appreciation award. I'm definitely the Kane of RCW. I like it. No. You can. No, it's funny. I
RSA
Alex Riley. Oh, Alex. He just got run late.
I thought A. Rye was.
He always got a good reaction. I think you know, he did something with John Cena, but we won't get into that.
You're getting released.
Good looking dude.
Yeah, well, so am I, so that works.
What are you doing?
It's
Alex Wright dance.
That was the Alex Wright dance. Not right, right.
Das Wunderkind.
No, but it's funny, I was just telling this story to the boys before, like, so, like, you know, like, it was emotional. There was a bit of dust in my eye, and you know, I got a little.
You fucking cried, mate.
I didn't cry.
You got teared up.
It was what it was.
I was the first person to acknowledge you got backstage, and your head was in. I'm like, I'm fucking so proud. You're like, fuck off, man.
Yeah,
fuck
off.
I got more emotional than I thought.
Matt Basso's hugging me in the ring, and he's sitting there going, "Ah, you did it, fucker." And I'm like, "I hate you guys so much." But.
He was very emotional
the perfect night to do it.
I couldn't believe the crowd. The crowd were just absolutely amazing. They just loved it. I said, you know, from the start of the last match between Chris and Roddy to the end of the show, it was just perfect. But it was funny, I was chatting with some fans, and I spy my dad standing at the back of the room as they're trying to get everyone out. And my dad's been to probably 8 to 10 wrestling shows. He comes when he can. Never in his life has he seen me win. He'd never seen me win. No, no, I'm not saying that like I just. But it wasn't like, you know, they jobbed me out. It was just pure coincidence that whenever he'd come, I'd always been beaten. So tonight, not only did he get to see me win, he got to see me win the belt. And there's my old man. I've never seen him cry in my life. Tears running down his face.
No.
I walked up to him and I went to hug him and he stops me and he goes, "You cried, faggot." And I'm really like, "You're crying right now. I can see the tears in your eye."
I was sitting on the back steps when I, you know what?
He's a great actor.
It was actually really good. And I tried to get a photo of it, but it was too late. They already separated. But no, when you just saw the proudness.
Pride was the word you were
looking for. Oh, yeah, the pride.
It's so much easier.
Back on the special bus, like.
The special bus was just, just a coincidence. I'm actually a dumb cunt.
It was just indubitable.
But you saw the pride in Papa Smythe's face, and you just, just when that heart, it was a beautiful moment to see how proud he was of his son winning the belt, even though he doesn't fucking deserve it.
Oh, sourpuss. That's just daggers, mate. I'm shining up the belt tonight, I'll try not to worry too much about that. But,
you're shining the belt. Yeah. Just be jerking like
Wait, is this an R? Because he just goes, you go from 0 to 100, you know that? It's like just 0 to 100, man.
What rating is the show then? PG?
We're going to roll.
There is the internet. There is no bloody rating.
Look, it was crazy. It was just such a whirlwind. And look, you know, like I said, like it's a work, it's a show, it's whatever it is. But this belt still means something because it means something to the people that work for this company. And the fact that it means something to them.
This is our podcast.
Wow. Nick Armstrong just kind of steal our thunder like always.
Well, you know what? When you're wearing a Storm shirt, you can steal thunder.
Hey! No, but
it would have worked perfectly
if
this was a visual.
Yeah, I feel like we're missing something.
I know, the door just slams. Yeah. We didn't even get audio of that. It was muffled.
Oh, you want to do it again?
No, we're good. Okay.
I'll put it in post. Don't worry.
Yeah, we'll edit it in. look, it's a work, it's a show, it is what it is, but it still means something. It means a lot to the people that run this company, that work for this company. And to get the recognition and just for them to acknowledge that they felt I you know, that I deserved the belt. You know, whether it's for a, you know, whether it's for a minute or for a year is irrelevant because. He's bitter, guys.
I don't think the mic picked that up. Luke said a cup of coffee.
No. This is me and Brad's relationship. This is how
I succeed and win things, and Luke gets bitter.
Basically, no. Bam. No, that's just our relationship. Yeah, I'm just a piece of shit.
No, we're brothers.
That's the only way to talk. We're brothers, and that's how brothers act.
But and like, look, to get the appreciation, and like you said, like, but Brad, yeah. I'm looking at the video thing over here. I'm
sorry. No, I don't like you. I was busy looking down at your crotch.
I was hoping it was porn. No. like I said, Luke was the first one that got to me backstage. But then as soon as I turned around, there's Maddie and Chris, and they gave me this big hug and just said, "You deserve it. Where you go from here is up to you." And it was just like, cool, I got to run with this. Like, I take the ball no matter what happens. Like I said, if it's for a minute, an hour, a year, whatever, I'll always have this. I'll always have this night. And... you know, nothing can take that away. And it's a good feeling. So, yeah.
I love really happy endings with a wrestling show like that where I was fucking... That's why I hesitated because... Yeah, all right, I'll get in on that. That's why I hesitated there. I knew what was coming.
Sorry, we're getting off topic.
That's been Wrestle Radio Australia. Good night, ladies. Nah.
Oh, sweet.
The happy ending was brilliant tonight.
I thought it was dumb.
The match between Chris and Brody, the way that it ended was perfect. And then Brad winning the belt and cashing in the key was just the icing on the cake. That's what it was. And that's all you can say about that.
Perfect start to the show where you had Miss Fortune come out, win the women's title in the opener. And right there, people are like, okay, what's going to happen next? You know, and it was just a series of one after the other. Like the no DQ match, far out with the smash and rude ones. The guys are like just no interest now that we're talking about other people. It's fuck those guys.
Okay, here's what happens when
I'm not on my fucking phone.
Here's what happens. Yeah. Bus wouldn't know, but when you become the champ.
So what's told on his phone? He's not a champ.
Yeah, that's it. You get inundated with about 300 messages, Instagram, photo, like everything.
So you put your phone down a second ago and then bang, it lights up again.
Look, here's the thing, guys.
Really, I'm pretty sure that says message from truck stop guy number 3.
And he was happy for my win. No, but here's the thing, wrestling's...
You're getting a reward later.
Yeah, wrestling's a happy ending. Wrestling's a community. Really is. And so far I've already had messages from about 10 wrestlers messages from wrestlers in WA, Melbourne, New South Wales, Queensland, everyone just saying, congrats man, you deserve it, you earned it. And it's like, no matter how small some people think wrestling is, it's a global thing, it's an international thing, and we're all still connected. We're connected by wrestling. And like people that I actually got one from Alex Titan. Just messaged me, just say cheers man, congrats, like good work. And I worked him my third match ever, and that was the only time I ever worked him. Like
adrenaline.
I fucking loved that music. That was like, I love the gimmick, but and he just...
Sorry, Alex, I hated that entrance.
It was amazing, but like you know what I mean. Like, and I haven't seen the guy in probably a year, a couple of years. Like, he came down to do a couple of shows for us, I think, a couple of years back. But the fact that he's taking the time to message me and say thanks. I got, you know, Josh Shooter, I think, sent me one as well. He's always first on board to get around the wrestling community. I think it's great for wrestling in general that we can all still support each other in such a way in a business like this.
Because with the Aussies that head over to the States and you see them on NXT, that's one of those things that really... Like you said, it does make it feel more like a global, not so much like global family, but you know, just a group of people that understanding each other's sort of struggle and what they're doing and all this sort of shit. It really helps. Now let's talk to you, Todd Eastman, because tonight you managed world-class Chris Basso to victory against Big Brody Marshall. Grimm is back.
So my phone keeps going up, and then all of a sudden, Todd Mitchell from across the table, from a foot away from me, just messaged, "You are a fag."
Brilliant.
That's the support that you want. That's real love.
We'll take a screenshot. That can be our cover art for this episode. But yeah, Todd, like you were talking to Dubs on our most recent, a couple of episodes ago, you were talking to Mark Williamson about the prospect of managing a quote-unquote baby face. Now, how did you think it sort of went? Because you really didn't do much. Well, I mean, there was that one moment, but...
From what I could see, he absolutely hated it. He absolutely hated it.
He's just wanting to have a go at somebody in the front row, and he's like, I fucking can't. I can't slap the mat. Come on, Chris. Come on, Chris. That's all I can do. So come on, Chris.
I'll tell you what, though. That intro was the best intro you've ever given. There was some real... There was feeling behind. That was like... You could taste that entrance.
Mainly because he allowed me to actually pass him the microphone instead of stealing it away from me. So that helped.
Subtle differences, eh? Subtle changes.
Compliment. Paul Heyman would have been proud. They do say that, what is it
imitation is the greatest form of flattery.
That's it. But he loved it.
So yeah, how did you like it? Shut up, Luke. How did you like it?
It was really different. The closest thing I could equate it to, and I was thinking about halfway through the match, I'm just like, you know, I'm just going to do this the way I would used to coach basketball. It's about the only way I can do it because I can't turn around.
Wait, did you say coach? Don't do it like coach, though.
Oh, fuck! Jesus!
Edit that out.
I'm not.
That needs to be beat.
No, that was...
You know what? And you said I crossed the line. That was too far. That's a completely different story. And we're just going to leave it
We're going to leave it.
No, we're not going to mention anything.
Hey, it's his destiny. It's the truth he seeks. In the world, he'll find a way to cross the line.
Yeah.
Hashtag die impact die.
No, we're just going to leave it at that. Yeah. So anyway.
Moving on.
Back to managing.
It was different because I couldn't just fall back on the turning around and yelling at people to shut up. But on the... On the other hand, it was... On the other hand, it wasn't that hard to actually get the crowd involved, which is like, that's probably due to just how good that crowd was tonight.
Oh, yeah.
All I really had to do was turn around and sort of lift both arms up, and they got up for it. So I mean, it was great.
Sorry, but I just had a beer here, and Luke's going to steal it, and then he's like, "Oh shit, West End," and put it down. It's like the smoker's equivalent of like if you have a packet of menthol cigarettes, and someone goes, "Hey, can I bum a fag?" Yeah, no, I'll be right.
No, Todd mentioned it. Like we spoke about this earlier. So the crowd tonight, and the best way I described it was chatting to the rookies. Said. The crowd wants to get involved tonight. They want to get behind you.
And they weren't the bad, want to get involved.
Oh, God. Like,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Weren't NXT getting
they
involved?
They weren't trying to steal the show and We Are Awesome and all that crap that I still can't believe is a thing. But that's... Look, hey, crowds pay their money. They can chant whatever they want. But...
Who wants to steal the show? Who does that?
Well, mate, I do it by accident.
Wait a second. Didn't you put a status up on your fan page about two cops coming to arrest you for stealing the show?
That's a copy and paste.
What are you talking about?
Paste from a meme.
Mate, I told you I'm not good with the internet and stuff like that. I'm not creative enough to make stuff like that up. Come on. That's why we have a creative team that Todd is kind of, if not side of, maybe, but not really a part of. Along with our 17 other bookers.
Rumoured.
Rumoured to be involved in the booking team.
The RCW roster is a booker, but Luke Santa Maria.
Yeah, and that's why you lost.
That's why I can't lose.
Yeah, I've heard your ideas, and that's warranted.
What ideas?
Yeah. Good gesture.
Todd just shrugs. I don't know.
This is where we need visual. No, no. But
you know, a GoPro in the corner over there.
I reckon you should set up like a camera or something. Mm. So that way, like, you can do, like, special...
But then everyone would realise I'm not wearing anything but the belt right now, and that'd just be really awkward for everyone.
Yeah, well, it's not awkward for me.
Hey!
Last night.
No, honestly, that'd be a good idea. Just put, like, a special up. Every now and again on YouTube, just film us talking shit so they can actually...
What do you mean? You're not coming back. This is it, brother. don't hang your hat, because we're not coming past here again.
One and done, I believe, is the phrase. Yeah.
No, you fucking No, but I think it would be a good idea. So, like, you just set up a camera, you do your podcast as normal, release it onto YouTube or whatever, and then that way so people can actually picture...
What we're doing.
Yeah.
Well, they can picture that we are all sitting here drinking beers. Yeah. That is what they're going
to
say.
And that's it.
I'm the dumb bastard that has to upload it twice, though. I mean, come on. Although with NBN, that's a lot quicker.
That's so. Back on
but
topic,
don't release the audio, though. Just release...
Dude, do you want to, like, produce this show?
Back to talking about me.
You can fix Josh Shooter's poor audio with DDP then. You can do that.
That's your job. All right, back to the crowd, though. The best way to describe the crowd, they wanted to be involved tonight. And sometimes you get crowds where you have to drag them kicking and screaming into the match. Tonight, literally, they just wanted to be involved. And it's like, that's the one where you hit something or you do something and you turn around. This thing that has somehow become a thing for me with me pulling out my man bun is like my man bun is more over than I am. Like that's the thing. It's like it's my Kurt Angle straps down apparently now is that I pull out my man bun and the crowd loses the plot because they know something big's going to happen. I'm like, how we ended up here, how I got here is beyond me.
But yeah, it, like when you intro'd me at the during that main, I'm just like in my head, I'm like, well, if they boo me, I've got this promo to go. If they cheer me, I have this one. And I got like a half a cheer, so I'm like, well, that's close enough.
And as soon as you started then introducing Craig and really like razzing it up, and the people were just like, it was like the team, they were behind the team, you know. Yeah. And it was really sort of cool to take down this big bloody monster, you know. It was beautiful.
That is the one different thing between, like, that Cray and I have with manager and... No, well, fucking it's Cray.
Co-flame, dude.
You're talking about coach and fucking Cray. I can't say Cray.
Yeah. Like, station nation.
Oh, that's two completely different subjects, dude.
Right, back to Cray.
Yeah.
This isn't Sean's court summary on 5AA, no. Yeah.
But no, it's very different to like a normal manager.
It's
it really is. It's weird. I can't really describe it. Like
if I was to describe it, it is similar to Paul Heyman and Lesnar in the sense that when you have a lot of the times when you have a manager and a wrestler, the wrestler is the star and the manager just kind of says his little thing, does the thing, and that's it. With Heyman and Lesnar, and with you and Cree, it's almost an equal partnership. Like, look, Cree, you know Cree's going to bring it in the ring. You know Cree's going to have an amazing match. But you're bringing 50% of the aura through what you're doing. You know, and that's not taking anything away from Cree, but it's a partnership. It's not just, here's the superstar and here's the manager. You guys are a unit, and you work as a unit, and it revolves around. And that's why you guys were able to jump from, you know, the face side of things to the heel side of things together. So easily,
yeah. I think. That's why I think like these young rookies, like you got Satakone, Katie, Trey, Toro, that mob, even Eli, even
Satakone. I'll be calling him Sudoku.
No, let's get this for the dad joke. That's a dad joke I've ever heard.
Boom and Tish. But that's the vibe. And that's one thing I put over on commentary tonight is that, yeah, Katie Trey had a different tag partner, but because these guys are all young, all training at the academy, they've got their own, like, you could say, like, little fight camp. And so they're all rooting each other on. And it's that same sort of thing where it brings that real sporting type aspect to it that you need to throw in there with all the showbiz. You know what I mean?
It's an athletic thing. And look, it is what it is. Like, I mean, I for one, I think people try to take too much from wrestling. They want too much from wrestling. Wrestling is what it is. Don't try and make it something it's not. Just enjoy what it is and enjoy it. Have fun with it.
I'm a big believer in not doing, what is it? Less is more.
Less is more.
Less is more. And you know what? And we did that. Like, now I'm going to shit on you here for a second. But no.
Boom.
Now, while you've been being booked, and I haven't been booked. Not been booked, right? No. Yeah, when you were training, I wasn't. No, just sitting in the crowd watching your matches. Number one, they've gone like 5 to 7 minutes over what they should have gone. But you've just tried...
Fair point, but that's a fair point.
I'm shitting on you here, but I don't mean to be. I'm just using it as an example.
It sounds like you're shitting on
me. But you know, but you've just tried... I don't know what it is, but the way that you and your opponent have planned the matches lately, you've just been trying to do too much. And you've been trying to literally like get... Like both of you, you're trying to get your entire moveset in the match. See, and tonight,
it's Luke. It's because Luke was here that we had a good match. Otherwise, I would have gone to shit. Luke is the key, I think.
Because I'm the only one that'll actually turn around. I'm the only one that'll turn around and say to you, "No, fuck up. Let's do less."
There you go. That's exactly how it went down. 100%. Like that's 100%. No, but look, he does have a point though. One of the things, like, look.
I think I bumped like 3 times tonight.
It's because you're lazy, not because you didn't.
You take Ali Valle's mantra. It's like, I don't bump more than I need to. If I take one bump a match, I'm good, baby.
Heels only need to bump a few times a match.
Here's the thing as well, and this one of the things that Rocky always talked to us about. And like one of my favorite sayings when I describe Rocky is Rocky's forgotten more about wrestling than most of us will ever know. And you need to be able to go, right, I need to listen to this person. And he just always said to us, the KISS system, keep it simple, stupid.
And I always enjoy his matches purely for that reason, well, that it shines.
He's not one of the most over wrestlers in Australia for no reason. There's not no reason behind it. It's because he knows how to work.
Some of the simple things that work the best. I mean, when you had that match against Cree, and I was there, and we came out of the thing, how about you just knock me out during the intro? And I'll wake up at the end of the match.
Fuck, yeah. I enjoyed that.
Thank you. The crowd did too. But it was just something that was so simple and was like that. But it got over and the crowd were just... As soon as it happened, the crowd was straight into the match. You didn't have to really warm up that much.
No, I don't like foreplay. I don't have to warm it up. Just straight in there, bang. Fastest man alive. fastest man alive. I'm in and out. I'm done.
That's how you really got you.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. People think it's because I'm quick, and then they see me wrestling like, he's not that quick. I'm like, that's not how I got the name.
0.00009 Bradley.
Yeah. I'm going to beat that record soon. Now you watch. I've been training.
You guys know way too much about each other, but anyway.
We're brothers. What do you expect?
Well, you guys, I mean, this is something, one reason why I wanted to, I mean, I've been trying to, folks, listeners, I've been trying to actually line up this podcast with these three folks with me in the same room for, it feels like months and months.
To be fair, it's only that we don't like you, that's the reason that we haven't been doing
it. There are more important things to do than...
The three of us have done heaps of...
They're in Todd's vault. He's got his own secret vault.
Weekly video podcast.
I've been released under like an alias of Big Ballers Podcast.
Yeah. Nah. It's like Prince Joey Coco. You guys have got like, you know, the Todd Eastman hour or something.
Yeah. No, it's...
But you guys got the basketball thing going on. You guys are all like hoop mad and stuff. When are Luke and Brad going to get on the Big Ballers podcast, eh?
Well, like, I've talked to Luke. He doesn't know that much about basketball.
I was going to say, Luke likes to think he knows. Like, no. If you ever see him play basketball, you'll understand.
I'll admit, I'm a horrible basketball player. I love basketball.
He had effort.
Yeah. I tried. That's what mom says to me. As long as you try your hardest.
Well, good hustle. That's all that.
No, but when it comes to is it statistics? Statistics
word,
and yes, all that.
That I tell you what, it's not proudness, but it's
shut up.
Bring an answer with a speech impediment. Yeah. Luke's here. I feel so much better, folks, about myself.
Yeah, well,
let's keep moving.
When it comes to I'm not that great when it comes to
statistics.
Yeah, thank you.
Cinnamon
to stats. To stats and stuff.
Cinnamon, yes, we know.
Yeah, I'm not really that good when it comes to stats and stuff, but I do just generally like talking about basketball. Like today, watching OKC and the Spurs play. What a game.
I didn't watch it because I was trapped.
Actually, you know what? I'm actually not.
The Spurs are the only team that can challenge Golden State. I'm putting that out there right now.
Yeah, well, it's going to probably come down to Golden State and San Antonio in the Western Conference Finals. Yeah.
Half of our listeners have just tuned out now. They're like, fuck this.
No.
That brought him back.
To what I have to say.
That brought him back.
No, I'm definitely going to wake up sore tomorrow.
We are blowing this mic out.
We kind of did beat the shit out of each other. Even though we didn't really, we kind of did.
But you know, whenever we sat before the match, we're like, how are we going to do this? We said, here, we're going to do two things.
Yeah.
We're going to work the crowd, and when we're not working the crowd, we're going to stiff each other. That's the two things that we have to do tonight, and that's what we did.
Yeah, basically.
But it worked, like I think I said to you, I liked it because it looked like a real fight.
It looked real.
And which is, that's what, as soon as you get that air of, people go, oh shit, this is a show.
Yeah.
You can feel the crowd go,
just drop, yeah.
So it's like...
Is there a bathroom? Just call it under the pizza about.
Is there a bathroom? We only run this venue every month. Where's the bathroom?
I'm just going to leave this belt here. Luke, you can hold it for me until I get back. All right?
Usually he makes you go to the bathroom and hold it for him, so it's different this time.
Yeah, get a photo.
That belt will be at Cashy's by the time this episode is out. Folks, if you want to get a hold of a bargain, go for it. Oh, man. Luke, he's in pain. He's Jesus Christ. Yeah, well, you carried Brad tonight. You see, that's going to happen. I say that while he's not here. You notice he's going to hear that later on.
I'm pretty sure he carried me. Nah, you know what? If you really want to call it for my return match, I think it was brilliant. And it was good because walking backstage, it's been a long time. Since I've been in the ring, but I know.
That came up on the Butts and Seeds show the other day, too, that song. It's a fucking Jesus.
Good song. It's been a long time that I've actually walked backstage and have felt happy.
with my match.
Because you always, always like that after your match. You're like, oh, fuck this up. I'm like, dude.
I am. No. I
did good.
No, I'm my own worst critic. And for probably the last 4 months of last year, I felt like I got really lazy and nothing was just really flowing for me. But tonight I walked backstage and I just said, fuck, that was brilliant.
Proud of
that was, yeah, I was proud. And I know Todd, you gave me a lot of praise. Matt gave me a lot of praise.
You know you're doing well when Matty Bass gives you a lot of praise.
Yeah.
Jed Armstrong said we were shit, but that happens all the time.
Well, to be fair, if it's not his match, it's shit. So,
Ego, here's one for the night.
Hi, Nick. I know you're listening, mate.
No, this is we're talking about Trav, not Nick.
Yeah, I know.
I get backstage, right, and everyone's hugging me. Everyone's giving me high five. Everyone's saying like great in the crowd. And then I walk up to Jed Armstrong, and he goes, well, the belt's finally got you half over. And look.
Just ask him how many t-shirts he has left.
Jet, as a baby face, Jet Rich or Die. First of all, the Rich reference as a baby face, Trav, I don't know about that. But the 50 Cent play on, not bad.
I'm not saying that to have a great Trav. I love Trav because he, you know what? He always says what's on his mind. You're never going to die wondering what Trav's thinking. And whether you agree with it or not is irrelevant. Like, look, and he obviously has an opinion on it, and that's fine. Like, everyone has a fucking opinion on it. They're like assholes. But, like, at the end of the day, it was just funny. Like, it was just one of those things. I'm like, we chuckled and then he gave me a high five. He said, good work, and we had a hug and it was all good. But it's just the people you meet and their personalities in wrestling are just fucking fantastic. Like, just, they're just so varied. It's amazing.
Oh, we haven't talked about this yet on the show. We haven't been able to because you haven't been on. You had a match with Ricardo Rodriguez. It was last year at OCW. You've probably heard all about it, but our listeners have not. And I know Brad's got a lot of fans listening. Half our audience are in Adelaide. Yeah. How was the experience with Ricardo? And do you... Hang on, Luke. Calm the fuck down.
We're going to get through this.
Relax, mofo. Do you... Like, when you're in the ring with this person and, like, the fact that they've had fed television experience, do you notice that when you come back through and go, like, geez, I know fuck all compared to this guy. Like, do you get that?
It's not about knowing fuck all because I like, no matter who I'm wrestling, I'm confident in my wrestling abilities and you need to be. I was nervous as fuck. And Ricardo, to his credit, was the nicest guy in the world. Like, he couldn't have been nicer. The bloody OCW card goes, oh yeah, by the way, we're putting you over. Can you go tell Ricardo? Nah. I'm like, what? I have to do. I'm like, Mr. Ricardo Jesus. So match is going to be fine. I got some cool stuff. They want me to go over. Happy to change it. Like, I don't care. And Ricardo, to it, like, he's just like, it's like, nah, man, that's fine. Yeah, like, fucking, we're gonna have a blast.
Yeah,
like,
I would have done it completely different. I would have gone up to him and be like, hey, Ricardo, what's your finisher? Oh yeah, cool. Can't wait to kick out of it.
Oh, and this is why I'm the champion. You're not. No, but to his credit, he was amazing, and he even filmed a video for a couple of my mates, Justine and Megan and Bethany, and that they couldn't come to the show, and he filmed a video saying hello from me, and he was amazing. But
he recorded a podcast for us, Healing Out with Ali Vaez. Yeah. You can go back and listen to that one. Very cool chat. Talks a lot about the great Carly, so that's good listening.
Yeah, no, and like, he was great to talk to. It was honestly great to just pick his brain, and he doesn't get half the credit for the wrestler that he is. Like, you know, everyone remembers him as Ricardo, the announcer, but he's an amazing wrestler. He's an amazing mind for the business. And he recently came back from India and he literally trained Carly's training school. And they run all these amazing shows. And, you know, if you guys don't have him on Instagram, follow him because he does amazing stuff, amazing videos on Instagram showing stuff. I actually used one of his arm drags tonight that I saw.
Oh,
on
was
the
that his?
That was his.
I think I
spun around him and rolled through into the arm drag and you almost fell over.
I mean, you see fucking arm drags a dime a dozen, right? But that was a variation on an arm drag or a counter thereof that I've never seen it myself.
I stole the exact spot from something I saw on his Instagram the other day. That's so, Jesus, I'm really sorry, but it was so cool.
Shout out to @RRWWE.
Yeah. But the thing, like, it's the professionalism, it's the way they handle themselves. But in the same way, he never He never tried to flaunt it. He never tried to, he never felt like he was looking at his nose at me or anything. But I will tell you a quick story about, we're doing the thing and we're talking through the match and we've worked out the end and then we've worked out the middle. And at the start, he's just gone, all right, so for the start, what we'll do is we'll lock up and then we'll just go like, bullshit, 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 bullshit. And then you get on top and then bullshit, 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 bullshit. And then we'll go to the heat. And I'm like, I was too nervous to not tell him I didn't know what bullshit, 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 bullshit meant. So I'm like, yeah, yeah, no problems. Like, yeah, we'll just do bullshit. Yeah, cool, cool. And we went the whole day.
Was it the international?
No, it wasn't. It was just, but he just wanted to work. He just wanted to work. But it got to like legit the whole day. And every time we talked through the match, he'd start with, yeah, so we'll start with bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. And then we'll go, maybe get a pop somewhere and then bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. And then we'll go into some heat. And like the whole day for like 8 hours, I'm going, yeah, 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 cool. And then it got to...
It took you 8 hours to work out a fucking match.
No, but like, you know, you like
a fucking indie kid.
I was there all day. It was probably 4 hours. We were there all afternoon. But then it got to like, we're standing at the entrance and the people from the match before us are walking backstage. I'm like, Ricardo, I got to ask, what's bullshit, 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 bullshit? And he's like, oh, yeah, no, like, I'm just going to do some chain on you. Like, and we'll just talk out there. I'm like, okay, cool, I can do that. But one of the things that he taught me that I've brought back here is breathing. Right. And it sounds so stupid to say. But he talks, like the whole time we were in the ring, he talked like nonstop. And I was like, I just couldn't understand. Like he just, everything we were doing, he was just chatting to me. And I was just like, but his breathing was just really good because obviously like he was just talking and he knew what he was doing and he was so calm out there. He was never flustered. And like, it was like well, we hit a move.
He's wrestled in front of what?
You know,
say 3,000 people and...
And what, 20,000 people, 30,000
people. Yeah, a crowd of what? 100 people?
Yeah, but like, we had 850 people there or whatever at the show. But he's just chatting to me. Like, we're sitting on a bench talking about the fucking afternoon, like what was on the news. And I was... It calmed me. It calmed me down.
But the good ones do just talk all the way through it. Yeah, I mean, look, Cree talks all the way through his match. And I don't even because I've managed him. Brooksy, I know Brooksy talks all the way through his matches and talks out. And that's why what they do is really good because they're constantly communicating and getting that across.
Hey, Brooksy, I know you're listening.
No, we talk through our match tonight. I'm pretty sure I said to you what comes next.
Yeah.
And you turned around and said to me, that was around the neck, you...
Before we go out, we planned this clothesline spot and the one thing Luke kept stressing me is like, don't worry, I won't clothesline you in the neck. And what does he do? Right in the fucking neck.
When I ate shit.
Because I was like, I was expecting a clothesline. I'm like, oh, I'll do maybe a bit of an SSP bump on this or something, make it look cool. And just died.
If it makes you feel any better. Like, Maddie and I pop for it. Yeah. Maddie and I both like, oh!
You shouldn't have pre-sold then, mate.
Pre-sold? Wow.
No, that was my fault. I tried to... may have hit you.
But you know what? I never for one sec was worried about it because I knew that it would have looked amazing. Like, I'm laying there like, that would have looked so fucking brutal. I love it.
That's it. The last time I was in Melbourne, I had a...
you're not taking my side.
I had a match with... it was me and Brooksy versus Dowie James and the Enforcer for the Warzone belts. And Dowie kicked me fair square in the fucking temple.
Yeah.
That I just...
I
saw stars and everything.
So it's not just Sid Parker that kicks people almost to death. Dowie's actually got the knack too.
Dowie's been doing it for fucking years.
Pyro.
What are you talking about? He knocked out Jake Lindo's teeth.
So
he kicks me in the head.
He's having shots at everyone. He's trying to turn the entire wrestling community against us. I'm not with Luke. I am not anyone affiliated. Don't lump me in with
my story. I didn't interrupt your Jesus story. Fuck. And then, so straight away, he kicks me first row in the temple.
It's going to be fun to edit.
I was a bit dazed, but he turned around and says to me, he goes, like, fuck, I am so sorry, you're okay. After the match, I'm like, yeah, whatever. After the match, he comes up to me, he's like, look, I'm really sorry about that kick. I said, you know what? As long as it looks good on camera, that's all that matters. And then Steve Ward, the cameraman, he goes, yeah, I got a brilliant angle. So I don't mind that stuff happening to me if it's going to look good.
No wrestler intentionally goes out there trying to hurt another wrestler. No.
Oh, I hope you've got a story, Luke. I hope you've got a story.
Ask me after Brad's finished. I do have a story.
No good quality wrestler intentionally tries to hurt their opponent. We're a team. You're working out there together. If you're trying to hurt your opponent, you shouldn't be in the wrestling business. Full stop. But these things happen. It is a high octane thing. Mistakes happen. Accidents happen. Shit happens. Let's be honest. That's life. But like I said, as long as you can look back at it and go, it wasn't in vain. Like, it wasn't a waste. So I don't care with my head getting taken off, because it would have looked amazing. It adds to the match, adds to the sympathy that I'm getting. Then it wasn't for no reason. So at least it wasn't like a fucking shitty chair shot. So like that was. I love you, but that was.
hey, that's
I didn't do that either. I intentionally didn't say that.
They started booing him, and I felt, oh no.
It's a really tough one, because I can see how Damo would be thinking, like, he's a good bloke. He doesn't want to intentionally hurt anybody.
No one wants to hit like Ninja Marvel.
No, because damn it, he's a tech, and we need him in that ring.
He's a 17-year veteran, damn it. No one wants to injure him.
Damo is the nicest, kindest person you'll ever meet. The dude is like my little brother.
I'll stop soon with myself, because I've got a son that I've got to get home. So
We'll wrap it up soon. Yeah. We will wrap it up soon, and Brad needs to continue his championship celebration. But yeah. Luke, yes. When did somebody intentionally try and hurt you? I want to hear this story.
He wasn't intentionally trying to hurt me. Okay. I was going out there with the intention to hurt him. No.
I want names. Brad Smythe. Hey, come on, we got to get a photo here before you leave. So calm down.
I'm not going to mention any names. All right. But there was this move that I was doing in the particular match, and it was the springboard dropkick. I believe it's called like the triangle dropkick from the second rope, and they kick them while you're there on the apron, and they bump on the outside. The Jericho dropkick. Now, said person, he turned around and he said that he didn't want to take the dropkick from me because that was his move and blah, blah, blah. Yet he hadn't used it in about 8 to 9 months. So I was like, okay, it's a face move. I'm a face. I'm going to use it.
The brain's ticking now. Who is he talking about?
I'll let you guys know once this podcast.
I'm trying to be quiet here.
He's building to it.
I'll mention the name after this podcast is done recording. When I found that out, I immediately saw red, and I already had intentions in my head.
I just want to pause in. Luke is a hot-blooded Italian and gets angry over little things.
But the fact that he turned around and said, I'm not going to take it, I'm going to move out of the way and just no-sell it. Okay. If you did that, I can potentially hurt myself. All right. So anyway, Brad saw the look on my face, and he's looked at me and he's gone, uh-oh.
Yeah.
He comes out and he's like, what's wrong with
you? Crisis.
I said to him, if that fucker doesn't take this move, I'm going to break his nose. And he's looked at me and I'm like, no.
But you can generally tell when Luke's pissed off. He'll be pacing back and forth, breathing heavy. He goes, no, I need a fucking cigarette, man. I need a fucking cigarette.
I wasn't doing that. I was actually just staying still, getting pumped up. Okay. And Brad's looked at me and I said, I will hold him down and I will kick him and break his fucking nose. So Brad's gone and had a word to this person. And Brad,
better get the belt in this.
Get the belt in, you fuck. So he's, I'm getting distracted here. Is it taken?
Yeah, okay. I can't sound.
No, so anyway, so Brad went up and spoke to him. And then he comes up to me about 10 minutes later. And he's like, I'm sorry, man. I didn't want to upset you or this. I use that move. I said, mate, you haven't used that move for about 7 to 9 months. I said, you're a heel. It's a face move. I said, now, if you didn't take that and you moved out of the way, I said, I would have broken your nose. And he's looked at me and I said, no. I would have gone to the outside, grabbed your head and booted you in the nose and fucking broken. Yeah. And
I know who you're talking about now.
The funny thing is he's like, okay. So he, in the match, he takes the drop kick. Now the DC decided to do a stupid bump and he ends up dislocating his shoulder.
Guys, we need to be. Luke's lovely wife Catherine has just come in and she's given the look, so we're going to let
her go. All right, thank you very much, Luke. You got any plugs to get out? Any plugs?
Luke Santa Maria, my fan page, Luke Santa Maria on Facebook.
You have fans?
Santa Maria 2991 on Twitter and Instagram.
Sorry. And Warzone for Victorian fans?
Yes, that would be May 21st. Yes.
Do you know who you're wrestling yet?
I do, but it's a surprise.
Oh, okay. So you're going to have to follow Warzone Wrestling Australia on Facebook to find out who Luke's going to be wrestling. Catch you later, buddy. Thank you very much for the chat. And Brad Smythe, the champ, is scooching over here with his... He will not let that belt out of his grasp right now.
Mate, have you seen the size of Brody? I'm holding on to this as long as I can.
Oh, man. Good times. What's that, Todd?
Nothing. Yeah. No, I'm fine. No, look, go on.
You're only as good as the person you beat, and I beat one of the greatest champions RCW's ever had, and that is saying something, because we've had, like, let's go back through the list, shall we? You've got people like your Rocky Moneros, your Nick Armstrongs, your Matt Bassos, your Chris Bassos, you know? Even some of the more out there ones, like your Jack O'Lans, your TJ Rushes, things like that.
Bulldog.
Yeah, Bulldog. Bulldog, of course, back when Del Torino.
He's in Bulldog now.
Yeah, but he was Del Torino when he won it.
Yeah, I know, but the fucking...
Are we doing kayfabe? I feel like...
Hey, ladies!
Hey, the strippers are here! Hey! If they're the strippers, why am I the only one with no pants on?
Stacky and Mel Keane, our awesome photographer.
Melanie is lovely and she looks after me and makes me look like I'm not a piece of shit. Thank you!
Melanie.
It's just Mel, we know, but...
Oh, wow!
The words you were looking for were, thank you, Mel!
I thought it was Melissa, so there you go. Oh, it is Melissa! Okay, right, cool. I see, there you go. Somebody here's got it.
He's put his foot in his own mouth in one night. Well done, son.
Oh, buddy.
I just can't believe I'm looking at
Brad and he's finally got the belt. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. The fan in me is ecstatic at the moment, so...
Well, I can be honest, I wasn't sure Darius would come. And you know what?
Fucking how's these two... I wish I could get a photo. I'm going to take a photo of this right now. These two guys, seriously, I'm sitting here talking, trying to talk up Brad and his title win, and here's a photo, so you can check out the fucking Facebook page. They are both on their phones.
It's your business. I'm disappointed with this. Right,
Jesus, no respect for the host.
That's the same pose you just did. Yeah, right there, that's my pose. I'm like Barney Stinson, I got the pose ready. See, what you got to do is you got to cover half the chest with the belt and then the other half of the chest with the hand, so then they can't tell you that I'm not in that best shape.
Okay, you know what, I want
to... I have got myself in better shape, I've still got a long way to go though.
You know what, I'm going to go there. Because, like, Emmanuel, he joked about it on the podcast, but when I listened to it later, I was like, I wonder if there's a perception. Now, if people say, look at you, you're a small guy, you're an athletic guy still, but you're a small guy compared to someone like Big Brody Marshall or even Matt Basso, Chris Basso, guys like that. Now, how do you take... criticism like that, because I've seen you know what you can do and your character work, your wrestling, the determination that the Brad Smythe shows out there in the ring. The belt is not out of place on you, but how do you cop criticism? And I know people might look at Dowie like that over in MC Dub and go, gee, he's not that big, but he can go though. So how do you take it?
Look, it's a two-sided sword, really.
Let's know who we can get serious.
Look. Look, it's honestly, it's a valid argument.
Yep.
I'm not going to sit here and say, like, oh, no, it's fucking suspension of disbelief, like, rah, rah, rah. Like, look, at the end of the day, it is what it is. Wrestling, you take it for what it is. And I could sit here all day and go, oh, well, when you watch Die Hard, you don't, Bruce Willis jumped out of a fucking cop car into a helicopter and survived, but you can't believe this. But at the same time, wrestling is a visual business. Yep. People like your Rockies and your Marcus Pitts and your fucking... Damian Slater, your Elliot Sextons and things like that, they're not just over because they're good wrestlers, they're over because they look amazing. And I got some really good advice from Robbie E from TNA when he was down doing a show. Again, lovely bloke.
Sorry, that name is dropped.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, no, take that back. Take that back. He was a big fan, so I knew who I was. But he gave me some great advice. He said, here's the thing, you should be trying to go out and be in better shape than everyone that comes to the show. Because if they look at you and you're in better shape than they are, that increases their believability of what you can do. And it's a process. I mean, like, I'm honestly trying to get myself in better shape. I'm not going to sit here and make excuses. It's hard. I've got, obviously we all work, but I also have a two-year-old, my son Noah, at home. And my missus works shift work. So, look, her hours jump and it makes it hard for us to have time where I can get to the gym. But, you know, everyone's got fucking jobs and family lives and kids and things like that. And they were like, I mean, you look at Chris Basso from 12 months ago to now, the dude is fucking shredded. Like, he is in amazing shape. He's got...
That was a shoot what I called on the mic tonight. The best shape he has been. I've seen him in. I was like, wow, great like, God kind of thing, you know?
So he's got a wife at home who works full time as well. They've got a kid as well that's, you know, a little bit younger than all, but still, but you know, a kid. And he manages to get to the gym and smash it. And that's like one of the things he comes down on me for. And he's absolutely right to it. It's like, if I can do this, you can do this.
Especially in the job that he's in now in the real world, I guess, where, I don't know if we can really reveal it, but you know, he can't exactly say like, hey, I need the night off to go train. Like, it's just, it's not kind of the way it goes, you know what I mean? And so, and for him to be absolutely shredded, obviously the training that he's done with his work, that helps, but like, bloody hell, I was... Yeah. It was really cool to see him out there tonight at almost at his peak, and the guy's 30 something.
He was amazing. And look, you know, like, and that's it. So for me, look, it's great that I've got the belt, and I, you know, I feel like I've really worked hard for it. But there's still more work to be done. Like, I've got to get in that gym. I've got to make sure I'm eating clean, and I've got to, you know, it's not about proving them. Like, it's not about me going, well, you know, it doesn't matter, I've got the belt, who cares? It's about me going out there and proving them wrong. Yep. It's about me going out there and proving that I deserve the belt and that I deserve to be a part of the upper echelon of this company. And the only way I'm going to do that is through hard work. I can talk for fucking 6 hours about it, but unless I back it up by actually putting in the hard work, then they're absolutely right. So all I can do is get up, you know, Sunday morning and go to the gym. And it's one day at a time.
Who do you think you'd be a good sort of title defense for? You like, is somebody you've pictured being in this scenario and going, okay, I reckon for a main event match, this would be pretty cool to work with this guy or that girl, Kellyanne, someone like Demi, you know?
Any of the rookies who, so that way I'll win. No. No.
Main event, 2 minute squash. I think that's how we send the fans home happy, right?
How long was the last main event I was just in? That was only about 30 seconds.
Good point.
Yeah. And he was big. No. Honestly, I'd love to work Brody Marshall. Like, this last 2 years, Brody has just come along in leaps and bounds. I've never seen anything quite like it. Like, I remember when he first started, then when he was a face, and then when he turned, and just his progression has been...
Oh, hey! Now, this is where we need the video podcast.
Fucking stacked it. Oh, vlog.
Stacky by name, Stacky by nature. Yeah.
No, but, like, I think, like, he's just come along so far in the last few years. He's such an amazing wrestler, such an amazing character. And I love the big man, small man dynamic. It's such an easy one to tell. So I'm looking forward to actually having a proper full-on match and see what we can do, see if we can tear the house down. But yeah, that'd be it. But, you know, perfect world. I'd love to just wrestle Chris Basso every month.
Well, I think there are a lot of people out there that that Todd's shaking his head, no?
No, because I usually get kicked in the face when that happens.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan of that.
You should mind your own fucking business then.
Excuse me, I didn't even do anything that match. I might have said something, but I didn't do anything.
Yeah, well, in the end, what he did ended up helping you get closer to the belt. So when you think about it, you got to thank Todd Eastman.
All those times I defended the key for no apparent reason, yeah. No, it was great. Because I don't know why.
Because you can, damn it. Because you can.
Because I can.
Nah.
This is America.
Because you're a hero.
Yeah.
And that's what heroes do.
They get tricked by idiots. That's what heroes do. They get tricked by people. That's probably a fair point. They do get tricked a lot.
Yeah, they do. Look, Batman in every 66 episode ends up tied up with some saw going towards his nether regions.
Not the belly, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I think we should probably wrap up because we're going to get kicked out of here. As per normal, that's becoming the WRA tradition, is that we get kicked out and I get yelled at. Yeah. So let's bring it on home. Yeah. First of all, Brad Smythe, thank you. Champ.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Champ.
I appreciate it, Toddy.
Let's get some plugs out, Brad.
Yeah, all right. So obviously, Brad Smythe, professional wrestler, Facebook page. So I'll try and do updates from time to time, but I suck at Facebook. But
now that you've got the belt, people are going to be wanting to know what's up with Brad on a day-to-day basis, so you might have to keep more engaged.
Yeah. So I may actually have to start doing things.
But I did like the stuff that you were doing a while back, just quickly with, you know, when you were going through
your... better than yesterday.
No,
stuff.
when you're going through your neck rehab, and all that sort of jazz, it was really, really cool that it let the fans in on that and also helped, again, ultimately continue to tell the story.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, you got... people go out here and, like, you know, like Luke said earlier, like, we can go out there and hit every move in our arsenal, but it's about the fans. It's about getting them involved and getting them, you know, being a part, make them feel like they're a part of the story. That's why Damo was such a great character, those who ever saw it, because the fans were invested in him.
They related to
him. Perfect example.
Yeah, fucking, so relatable.
The Revival versus American Alpha on NXT recently at the Dallas show. Like, it was a great match, don't get me wrong, but the crowd was so invested in American Alpha, like, finally getting there, that it just took the match to another level. Sami Zayn and Nakamura, same thing. Like, a crowd can take a bad match to a good match and a good match to a great match. So, you know, like, it's about doing whatever you can to make sure they're invested in what you're doing.
You've been on the sort of both ends of the spectrum when it comes to it, like the match like that, where you've lost a match that's had that much emotion, and now tonight you won one.
It's not on this side.
Yeah. does it like equate that much though in feelings? Do you have the same sort of, or is it different?
The same rush, obviously.
So I'm assuming you're referring to the RCW 100 show where I wrestled Damo for his contract, and obviously Damo won.
So many residents talk about that as one of their favourite moments. Legit.
Seriously, that moment tonight that we all had that ring, that reminded me so much of that moment. Yeah. It was the same sort of feeling from the crowd. The, like, you could feel the ring shaking.
The crescendo of everything that had been going on.
I remember, like, laying in the ring, and I could, like you said, you could feel the ring vibrating from the crowd. It's actually a lot different for me, because when I was laying there and I knew that me and Damo had the best match he'd ever had, and, like, we'd told such a, like, again, it was a simple story, a bully and the small guy that, he, you know, that the bully thought didn't belong. Knowing that we'd told that story in such a positive and great way, and it had finished just, like you said, perfectly on a crescendo, it was a real sense of pride for me to know that I could be a part of that, and that I'd helped Damo, and we got there, and we'd done it, and we did it right. Tonight, it wasn't so much, it wasn't that it wasn't pride, but it was just gratification for me, for everything. And, like, I like to joke with the guys. I'm like, I don't want to be one of those wrestlers that sits here and say I've been wrestling for a decade, because there's, I swear to God, 80% of Australian wrestlers, like, they, once they get to about 6.5 years of wrestling, apparently they've been working 10. Like, there's something, I've been working for a decade. And, like, dude, you started in, like, 2010. Like,
I remember when I started commentating, I get those commentary little notes, the little bios and everyone. It's like 10 years. I'm like, I'm pretty sure you find out later.
I started before you, and I haven't hit 10 yet. Yeah. So, I don't want to be that guy sitting there. But I've been working to this for the better part of 9 years. And it's funny, when I first started, the first day I got home, I had this little black book, I still have it, and I wrote in the back of it my goals. It was like, learn to wrestle was the first one. And then, like, get on a show, and then,
one day.
You know what? I fucking walked right into that. Like, Ray Charles could have seen that come.
Stevie's like, man, you missed it.
Get onto a show, main event a show, challenge for a title, work in front of at least 400 people, win the belt, and look like a wrestler. And so far I've ticked every single one of those things off except look like a wrestler. And, like, I'm my own harshest critic. Like, I'd feel I need to be in better shape. And it's not that I'm in bad shape, I just feel that
Does your body just not lend itself to gaining a heap of muscle?
I'm not going to make that fucking excuse. Well, I'm not going to make that excuse.
No, because some people are like that, though. Some people are built that way.
But you know what? Some people just work harder as well. And I need to work harder. Especially now that I'm the champ and I'm representing this company, I need to work harder. So for me, and it's like I said, like the moment, and we say this to the rookies all the time, the moment you are happy with mediocrity, the moment you're happy to just coast, or the moment you think you can't get any better, is the moment you need to stop wrestling, because you're done. And I hate that attitude of people just rolling in because they know how to wrestle, because they know how to bump, and not trying to get better. Like Matt Basso, Chris Basso, those guys have been, like, Marvel, been wrestling for almost 60 years, well, 50 years between them. Every Wednesday, they're the guys that are the first there and working on their shit, getting better, working on the 1%ers.
Matt works harder in that sort of respect than anyone I've ever seen.
And Marvel with his kettlebells is like right there all the time. Like,
so, you know, the moment you stop is the moment. Like, the moment you stop trying to get better is the moment you stop wrestling. So, for me, my big goal now is to get my body right. Like, it's healthy again. Like, after the neck and the shoulder and the back injuries, it's feeling good. So I gotta push it now. I've got to get in shape, and I've got to represent this company as a quality champion. Well, like I said, whether it's for a minute, an hour, or a year.
Well, you've got the fans behind you, dude. Thank you, Brad Smythe, new RCW champion. And Todd Eastman, well done managing Chris Basso to victories. Here we go. Fucking, yeah, I'm going to close it with kayfabe and end it with kayfabe. You see, that's what we're doing.
And then double close end.
double close end. Todd Eastman, tell us about what's happening on the Big Ballers podcast and any surprise interviews you can send me for WRA.
No, not as yet, but I shall keep you informed. Well, because I hit him up with the Mark Williamson one without him knowing.
Wow. Bloody good chat.
I just rang Dubs and started talking to him. So, yeah.
Fucking cool.
We just had an interview drop, show drop yesterday, so it'll be on the, whenever you publish this. So.
This will be out very soon, because I know people want to hear from the new champ, so it's going to be out there very soon.
We're going to get a photo as well, guys.
We'll do another photo, and we'll use this one on social media, the one without spus, you see? Luke, we got you, buddy. Yeah.
He's even more bitter about that. All right, guys.
He's always bloody bitter. We love you, Luke. We do, and we will be back in a sec after we take the selfie to wrap up WRA.
This is Jake Johnston with the world's almost finest podcast, reminding you that if you love listening to discussions around movies, TV, video games, comic books, and all kinds of other awesome stuff, then head on over to fnx.network and click on the world's almost finest. Give us a shout out, let us know what you think, listen to our episodes, we got plenty on there to go through. The world's almost finest podcast, a proud member of the FNX Network.
Thanks very much, lads, and congratulations. Brad Smythe, new RC Dub champ. Good stuff there, buddy. Spus and Todd, Luke Hazard as well. Poor Stacky. Gosh, it's... What can you do? Hey, what can you do? Yeah, good times, folks. So thanks very much for dropping by there and having a yak. That was really, really cool. And if you did enjoy what you heard, please do subscribe to the show on your favourite podcast catcher or app or page, or you can just go to fnx.network every week. You can stream the shows there or download them. So head on over there and do support all the other podcasts, such as Big Ballers, at fnx.network. And the main thing, of course, that we want you to do is please, if you dug it, give us a rating and a review, iTunes, Stitcher, and share the show around with your mates if you want to, you know, sort of hit people to the fact that we do have some really awesome live pro wrestling in Australia. Send them a link to one of these shows with one of your favourite wrestlers and let them know what it's all about. I have some audio in my inbox at the moment from one Ali Vaez, of course, the Healing Out host, with Slade Mercer. So all you Platinum Wrestling, MC Dub, OC Dub fans, you guys are going to get to hear Slade and Ali shooting the breeze in a few days. That one will be out. Time to bail. Big thank you to Todd Eastman, Luke Santamaria, Brad Smythe, Luke Hazard, the nice little cameo there. And of course, FNX.network. Big thank you to you guys. Wrestle Merch Printing. Shout out to Tom Chocolate. Thunderstag for the theme music. Wrestle Merch again for the rad cover art. And thank you for listening to this podcast. I'm Josh Armour, and we will catch you next time around. Peace.
Saints and sinners, lovers and losers, cuckoos and run wild with the hounds of hell. Brothers and sisters, show no mercy. Kiss your sons and your daughters goodbye. Been there, done that, heard it all before. Shoot up and spit out, we won't take no more. Fight. Every day's a Friday, every night's a Saturday night. Yeah, well, the action is, if you want some, come and get some. Here's where the action is, but you better be ready to take some. Here's where the action is. Here's where the action is. Here's where the action is.
Bullshit, 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 bullshit.
This is F.